Well, let's go to Matthew chapter number 7, and we want to continue our series here really on our mission at our church. And the mission of Crossroads is on the screens behind me, and it's to engage all people with the gospel of Christ. Say, in fact, you know what? It might be nice to do that together. Let's say the mission of our church together. Let's begin over here on this side. Say that with me. Our mission is what? Engage all people with the gospel of Christ. The second part of our mission is over here, and that's what? Say it with me. Equip believers with the truth. But you know, when Jesus was standing before the Roman governor Pilate, right before his crucifixion, Pilate asked the question. He said, what is truth? And that's a great question, right? What is truth? And I think we need to be convinced of our answer to that question, because how we answer that question is going to determine a lot about us and a lot about our lives. And it's also going to obviously determine a lot about our church. I mean, our mission is to equip people with truth. And so, you know, how we got to have a grip on, you know, what is truth. And, you know, Jesus had no problem declaring that he was sent from God, that he revealed God in the flesh, that he exemplified truth, and that his words were truth. Now, that's a big declaration. I mean, somebody would kind of like have to, you know, like maybe rise up from the dead to back that up, you know, which he did. And so Jesus provides a sure foundation of truth for our life. In Matthew 7, that's what he's teaching. I want you to look at it with me, and we're going to continue to dive into this. This is a parable in Matthew 7:24, where Jesus says, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a what?
Rock.
And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on what?
Sand.
And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so as we began to dive into this question, what is truth? We've from this parable, we've derived several things. It's our fourth week actually talking about this. And that is, number one, we looked at just the simple basic fact that truth exists. Jesus taught that truth can be known and it exists. Number two, we looked, and by the way, this is all in your handout if you want to kind of follow along and review. Number two, we said that truth is centered on Jesus, which segues into the third one, which was last week, truth is objective. Truth is objective. Truth is not subjective. Truth, I think, by its essence, is not opinion-based, but rather truth resides in the truth of an object, which is namely Jesus Christ himself. Truth is objective. There is objective truth. But then the fourth thing I want to look at today, and I want you to write this in, is that truth matters. Truth matters. That's what we learn in this parable. Truth really does matter. I think most people instinctively know that truth really matters. We expect truth. That's something cross-cultural. That's something that goes through, you know, across every nation, every culture, every society. We expect truth. How many of you have ever had kids or raised kids, or maybe you have kids at home now? Raise your hand if you've ever raised a kid. All right. I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you in here, your kids ever lied to you? If you didn't raise your hand, man, I want to meet your kids, okay? I really want to meet them. They're from another planet, right? But yeah, kids do lie. And you know, in fact, what if you were gone for a few minutes and you had kids that they're old enough to watch themselves kind of for a few minutes, and so you ran to the store, you and your wife, and you run to the store, and when you come back, you pull in the driveway, and the neighbor right away gets you and says, hey, come here, come here. And you're like, oh, man, what's up? And you go over, and your neighbor's like, hey, man, I just want you to know that while you were gone at the store, your kids were on the roof of your house. And your eyes get that big. And they had their skateboards up there, and they were skateboarding off the roof onto your trampoline. Now, believe it or not, I didn't make that up. I have a friend. He's not in the church. He doesn't live in town. But I have a friend whose kids did that when he was gone, him and his wife. Okay, so that's not even made up. They were skateboarding off the roof and then landing on the trampoline, all right? So that isn't even made up, all right? So let's just say that happens to you. And so you get your kids, and you say to your kids, hey, were you skateboarding off the roof? And they go, no. And you say, whoa, hold on. Were you on the roof while we were gone? No, we weren't even up there. Okay, the neighbor said he saw you guys on the roof, skateboarding off the roof, onto the trampoline. That must have been some other kids up there because it wasn't us. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you and your wife say to each other, you know what, it's really no big deal that they're lying to our face. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter. Who really cares that they're lying? Let's just ignore it and go on with life. No big deal. Is that what you say, yes or no? No. You see, every society and every culture despises hypocrisy. Nobody respects a faker or a liar. Every culture on earth values and believes in truth. I thought of this when I was thinking about this message back when I was preparing it weeks ago, and I thought about truth. Okay, truth matters. It hit me. Because you guys know I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, and our quarterback's name is Aaron Rodgers. And I am a Packers fan. I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but I am a big Packer fan, all right? But Aaron Rodgers got in a lot of hot water, if you watched the news last year, because about halfway through the season, he got COVID, and they found out in the midst of that that he'd never been vaccinated, which wasn't a big deal in and of itself because players didn't have, that wasn't required to be vaccinated. But here was the rub, is that Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the year was point blank asked, they said, have you been vaccinated? And he responded, I've been immunized. So everybody obviously took that to mean, yes, I've been vaccinated, when in fact he hadn't. He was doing a bunch of homeopathic stuff, which is fine. That's great if you want to do that. But the point is that people went berserk. And they were like, what he said was misleading. It wasn't truthful. It wasn't honest. He was deceiving people. And they just went absolutely nuts. They were not like, well, if it's true for him, then it's true. No, I mean, people went nuts. And so my point is this, all right, is that in your handout it says every culture values truthfulness. I'm talking about religious cultures, non-religious cultures, monotheistic cultures, polytheistic cultures. All societies and cultures value truthfulness. Some, people may try to act like, there's some people who may try to act like that truth is relative. Everybody has their own truth, but nobody lives that out consistently. Those same people who say that probably get offended if somebody insults them or talks behind their back or steals from them or sleeps with their spouse or simply just lies to them. They'll be like, why did you lie to me? Well, why does it matter if you just said there's no truth? So why does it matter if I lied to you? You said there's no truth. So it does matter because as human beings, we want truth. Right? It's part of us. Why do we value truth? Why are we built and constructed this way? Have you ever thought about that? Why does it seem to be hardwired into us as human beings to expect truth? Why is it like instinctively just part of us? And it's not part of the animal kingdom. They don't care about lying to each other. It's not part of animal life or plant life. Lying isn't an issue there, but it is with human beings. Well, I mean, I think when you look at other options that take a naturalistic approach and they leave God out of it, they can try to come up with explanations for why we have this kind of like built-in moral compass of wanting truthfulness. But the answers are not really satisfying. They really don't answer the question, I don't think, in a satisfactory way. Because if we're all just lumps of matter and energy, like everything else, then it really doesn't make sense why we would have this desire for truth in our relationships. And here's what I think makes the most sense, and it's in the Bible, and that is, it's in your handout, is that we have a creator. We actually, there's intelligent design that created us as human beings, and here's the key. That creator is a God of truth. And in your handout it says, a God of truth made us in his likeness, in his image. See, that's what the Bible says. Well, okay, that makes sense that I would have this moral consciousness that would want truth. That makes total sense. Because he is truth and we're made in his image, it's like hardwired into us to expect truth and respect truth when we see it. Think about it. Why doesn't it matter if I lie to my dog? Which I don't have a dog, but if I did. If I lied to my dog, it's inconsequential. Nobody cares. He doesn't care. All right? Nobody cares if I lied to my dog, all right? Why does it not matter if I lied to my tree in my front yard? Why does it not matter if I lie to my car? But then all of a sudden it matters if I lie to my spouse, or I lie to my children, or I lie to my friend. Why? Because a God of truth made us in his image. Here's the thing, truth matters, but here's the deal. The Bible also teaches, which makes coherent sense here, of why there's this tension. The Bible teaches that we are fallen and sinful. I asked how many of you earlier, how many of your kids lied? I think every one of your hands went up. Your kids have lied. So we're fallen, we're sinful, like the Bible says. Therefore, there is a rub. There is a tension. And the tension is, at one part of us, we affirm that honesty is the best policy. And we want people to treat us in truthfulness. And we have a disdain for fakery, like the Aaron Rodgers deal, right? We call it out when we see it in other people. But yet we ourselves find it difficult to keep everything on the level. We lie to each other, and we lie to ourselves. And sometimes we fake it, and we fake it. We fake it at work. We fake it at home. We fake it with our kids. We fake it with our wife. Would you believe people even come to church and fake it? Yeah. Yeah. People even fake it at church. How you doing? Great, brother. God's just blessing. And meanwhile, you know, we're just as angry as can be inside. We go to church and fake it. Right? We fake it. So we're not always the poster child for honesty. If we're honest. Sometimes we lie to get an advantage. We just call it stretching the truth. That's a lie. We lie to get something we want. We lie to cover up something. We lie to make ourselves look good. But deep down, we know better. We know it's not right. We know truth matters. And so clearly we see in Jesus' parable here, he's teaching us here that truth matters in this parable about the foundation and this and the storms and the house, one house falling and the other one staying. He's telling us something here. Remember, it's in the context of, look up at verse 15. Remember the context? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And so the context here is that Jesus is like, there is a lot of lies. There are going to be a lot of liars. There's going to be a lot of false information out there. There are going to be people who propagate lies. You know, how many of you guys would agree with me? It's easier than ever to propagate lies today. You agree with that?
Yeah.
We got the web, right? Do you realize it used to be, if you wanted to build something on lies, whether it was a business or a religion, I mean, you had to have like live people in front of you that would buy into what you were saying, and there was pushback, there could be conversation there. But yeah, you used to be you had to tell lies and get live people to believe you. So like Jim Jones, remember him in the 70s? And he gets this group of people to be a part of his cult. They buy into his lies. He takes them off, you know, out in the woods, and they end up drinking the Kool-Aid, and they all kill themselves, right? And yet now you don't have to do it that way anymore. You know, it's not that hard anymore. It's not the case anymore. You know, it's in 2016. Do you know what was declared the International Word of the Year by Oxford Dictionaries? Here's the word of the year in 2016. They declared this word, post-truth. One word because of the hyphen. Post-truth. They said we live in a post-truth society. And they declared this after this huge spike in the number of online articles that were either half-truths or just patently false. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing the World Wide Web. I mean, there's so many great things about it. And we live with more information at our fingertips than we could have possibly imagined just a few decades ago. But it also means that we live with more misinformation than we've ever had to contend with before in our life. And the far out and the wacky and the extreme can begin to look mainstream if enough people start sharing it on their Facebook feed. And there are websites out there with all kinds of stuff. You know, there's websites with evidence, you know, that 9/11 was orchestrated by a shadowy cabal of powerful Jews. There's websites out there to prove that the royal family are really shape-shifting reptiles from another planet. I'm serious. They got followers of this stuff, right? There are websites that are teaching. We've all been duped into believing that the earth is round. Really, it's flat. There are websites, I'm telling you, there are websites out there teaching the Holocaust never happened, never really even occurred. There are websites out there dedicated to the idea that the person, Jesus, who has had the greatest impact on the common era of any other historical person. I mean, I'm talking about art, music, sciences, history, religions. Religions that were even before Jesus have incorporated Jesus into their religion in some way. And all the religions after. Here's this person that's had more impact than any other person in the common era. There's websites that are out there saying he's a myth and he never even existed. No widely respected historian would ever hold to such a position. They don't. And mainstream academics take that view that Jesus never existed, they put it in the same category as those who claim that the moon landings were a hoax. But yet there's people who believe it. Have you guys ever noticed people love a good conspiracy theory? All right, they love it. So Jesus says here, truth matters. This isn't just a ho-hum, everybody has their opinion type of subject. No, there's a lot at stake here. He says, because eventually the winds are going to blow against you. Things aren't always going to go perfect for you. And he said, when the winds blow, he says, the foundation is the key. And he says, you got one house over here, and he says, it's been built upon my teachings, truth. The storms come and the foundation is solid, and so the house stands. So then you got another house over here, and he said it's built on sand, and it's built on lies and half-truths and stuff. And he says the storms come and it falls, and it's great. It's a great fall. And when I read that, its fall was great, my mind went to that condo in Miami last year that collapsed, just collapsed in the middle of the night on all those people. And I thought, you know, so many people on a daily basis collapse like that building. You know, lives collapse, marriages collapse, families collapse, homes collapse, teenagers collapse. And many times it's because we've built on a very faulty foundation. And it's those crisis moments that have a way of causing us to reevaluate our belief systems. Because some beliefs seem great until that crisis hits. Where, you know, you get the bad news from the doctor, or a loved one dies, or your child is terminally ill, or your spouse walks out on you and says, I found somebody else. See ya. You know, or you lose your job. And it's when those crisis hits, those crisis times, that we find out what kind of a foundation we have. And we're like, man, this foundation was really kind of empty and meaningless, and it's proven unhelpful. Most of the time, our actions over here, what we're doing, those actions proceed from our beliefs. And our beliefs form the foundation of our life. From actions come from beliefs, and beliefs form the foundation of your life. And so it matters. So, I mean, for example, I mean, let's just use this as an example. If maybe a girl out there has a belief system that sleeping around with whoever she wants to sleep with is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's her belief system. But when the storms blow, say she gets a sexually transmitted disease, and now all of a sudden there's ramifications to her health and well-being from that, that maybe she's going to live with the rest of her life. Out of beliefs come actions, and out of actions come consequences. So at that point, she may reevaluate her foundation, her belief system. Maybe a guy does the same thing. He thinks sleeping around with anybody he wants to is fine. Okay, and he gets a girl pregnant. She's not going to abort it. His entire life has changed. Maybe not relationally, because he's like, I'm not going to have anything to do with the baby. Okay, but guess what? There are laws, and your life is still going to be impacted financially. They'll garner your wages for years so that you meet your responsibility. At that point, he may reevaluate his belief system. You see, what we believe to be true determines a lot about us. Our worldview, you know what that is? That's how you look at life on a daily basis. Your worldview is the lens through which you look at life. Your worldview determines how you view relationships in your life. Your worldview determines what morals you hold to, what you believe to be decent and right behavior towards other people, what we believe about God, what we believe about the life hereafter, what we believe about our priorities and how we should spend our life. And I would just say this, you know, bottom line is this, Jesus is right. Truth really matters. It matters. It matters at every level of our existence here on planet Earth. Truth matters. The next thing in your handout I want you to look at is this. Truth, this is the fifth thing. Truth, and we're not going to get completely through this, but I'm going to... We're going to dive into this a little bit today before we go. Truth doesn't change based on circumstances. And that's what makes it so stabilizing. Truth doesn't change, right? I mean, The essence of truth kind of tells us that, right? Truth doesn't change. Truth is truth, whether your life is sunshine and roses and everything's going great, or whether it's thunderstorming, right, and things are going terrible in your life. Truth doesn't change. And like Jesus said, we're probably going to encounter both. We're going to have great times of sunshine and roses, and then we're going to have times that aren't so great. And sometimes beliefs sound good until they're put to the test, right, until the fire is applied. And in the times of adversity, when the winds blow against you, you realize, okay, well, hold on. Maybe my foundation wasn't as good as I thought. It was sand, and it's crumbling right underneath me. And so there are many ways that I think we try and make truth something that waffles, that changes. There's ways that we do that. There's ways that all people do it. And there's ways that we make truth kind of change based on circumstances. So I want to talk about a few of those. Let's talk about the first one. Number one, it's in your handout. Number one, truth is not relative based on what works in the moment. All right, so this is the idea of utilitarian pragmatism, right? Utilitarian pragmatism says, hey, whatever works, whatever gets you the results you want, the ends justifies the means. Pragmatism, right? But yet that doesn't determine truth. There's a lot of things that work, like a convenient lie, and they may work in the moment to your benefit, right? But it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true just because it worked. It's like, for example, just a silly illustration, but let's say that a husband has put on 20 or 30 pounds, and he asks his wife, can you tell I've gained weight? And she says, no, you look the same to me. You haven't put on any weight. Well, that may be a useful lie, but it won't change the truth. Amen? All right, it doesn't change the truth. So, a little bit more of a serious illustration. Say a guy's cheating on his wife, and he keeps telling her how much he loves her and how true he is to her. Well, why does he do that? He rationalizes it's because he doesn't want to hurt her. He doesn't want to break up the family. So he is protecting her. And he's protecting the family from the pain and the heartache if they knew the truth. Well, I think we all agree that that is not right. Amen? Truth is not relative based on what works in the moment. Proverbs 14:12 is in your handout. Look at it with me. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man. That's just the right thing to do. But it's not the right thing to do. And the end is the way of what? Death. So there's things that may work in the moment, but that doesn't change the truth. Let's go to the next one. All right, look at the next thing. Number two, truth is not relative based upon how you feel or what your emotions tell you. In other words, truth is not an emotional response. Because did you know your emotions will lie to you? Did you know your feelings will lie to you? How many of you knew that? I'll give you an illustration. All right, this is just one that will make it very clear to you how your emotions will lie to you. When you watch a movie, your mind rationally, logically knows that's not real. You know that's actors and actresses. You know they've memorized a script. You know that there's cameramen right off, and people gathered all around watching this as they're acting. You know logically this isn't real, but your emotions cause you to respond as if it is real. Has anybody ever cried during a movie? Right? You know your heart beats real fast. You're scared. You know it's not real. You know it's fake, right? But you're scared. Or you ever watch a movie and there's just a character that's just despicable and you just hate him and you're just so mad. And you got all these emotions that are not rooted in reality. You hear songs that glorify feelings. Songs will do this. They glorify your feelings, and they lead you to believe some really false and dangerous notions. For example, I've heard songs, and you probably heard songs, that'll say something like this. If it feels this right, it can't be wrong. And it's usually about a guy cheating on his wife, right, or the other way. If it feels this right, it can't be wrong. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. I mean, what if somebody gets mad at you and it would just feel so good to them to punch you in the face? Is your attitude going to be, well, if it feels that right, it can't be wrong. Punch away. I mean, it can't be wrong. Feels so good, right? No, can you see how that kind of thinking gives your feelings this heightened sense of importance? And relying on feelings and emotions to determine if something is true, whether it's morally virtuous or whether it's vile, that leads into some very dark, dark places. Your emotions are not always rooted in reality. Your emotions are not always rooted in truth. And that's why there's so much lust in the world that oftentimes will masquerade as love, but it's simply lying lust is what it is. In fact, in your handout at the bottom there, it says there that love rejoices not in iniquity, which just means sin, wrongdoing, evil. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices. Love, true love, rejoices in what? The truth. In other words, guys, love is grounded in something solid. True love is rooted and grounded in the soil of truth. And love is not just a word, and it's not just a feeling. It's rooted and grounded in the soil of truth. So let me ask you something as I end this. How many of you believe that we should be seekers of truth? If you do, say amen, huh? Amen. All right, we should be seekers of truth, right? All right, I think we all agree with that. We should be seekers of truth. Then the question, though, comes, what's the best way to do that? You know, some people are like, and this may be you, and that's okay, because we are all at different stages of life, and I don't expect you to be where I'm at. And I don't expect you to be where your wife's at or where your husband's at or where your friend is at. We are all at different places in this journey, right? And so some of you may honestly be kind of like Pilate. You're like, what is truth? I don't even know what truth really is. And let me just say this to you. I really believe this. I really believe that if you are seeking truth, if you really want to seek truth, I really believe seeking truth has to begin with seeking God. I mean, I just think logically it's got to start there. Or maybe the possibility of God. Because some of you, it may be as simple as, you know what, God, if you're real, lead me to you. That's an honest prayer. God, if you're real, lead me to the truth. Because I just want truth in my life. I don't want to build my life on lies. I really do want the truth. So if you're there and your truth and Jesus is truth, God, lead me, guide me, show me. That's a great prayer. I've known people who have prayed that, and God definitely answered that prayer. Some of you maybe already know God, or you already know Jesus. And you know and believe that Jesus is real and that he's truth. But you haven't really, if you're honest, you haven't really been seeking his truth or really trying to build your life on as he says, his sayings, his teachings. You really aren't like, you know, you go to church and that, you know, that's good enough. You know, I go to church and then I go do my thing, right? I get it, right? Again, we're all at different places in life, but God's calling you to something deeper. God's calling you to have a worldview and a filter by which you look at everything through the truth of Jesus Christ and what he thinks and what he taught and the way he looks at things. And God's calling you to that deeper understanding of truth, which comes by studying the life of Christ and studying the teachings of his word. And I want to encourage you to get hungry. Some of you are like, I don't have any problem with that. I am hungry right now. And I wish you'd please close this down so I can go eat, right? That's not where I was going with that, all right? Some of you need to get hungry for the truth. I mean, like hunger and thirst for the truth of God in your life. To where God and Jesus is so real to you in your daily life. And he, you know, man, when you're on your way to work, he's right there with you. And when you're talking to people at work, he's there. When you're meeting with a customer, Jesus is right there with you. And you're looking at everything through that lens of Christ and the truth of God. And so that's what God's calling us to. Now, are we all there? No. But that's what I hope to get you to think about today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray right now.